da-da-da-da-da. From Chris and Andy's world, I present The Blue Baggers, a show dedicated to the Carlton Football Club, the old dark navy blues, the Blue Boys. So strap in, crack a tinny, relax, tally-ho, gents.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Blue Baggers. I'm Chris, and I have Andy here with me.
G'day, Chris. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm going well. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So we've actually come to the end of all the draft.
Rookie draft,
PSD. Preseason. So we're in December now, and we can actually look back and evaluate how we think we went in the 2019 draft, because it was a really interesting time.
And we certainly would have naturally done that, but there's a little bit of added incentive to do this podcast.
Yeah, so obviously you don't want to see Carlton in the news in the preseason, unless it's usually we just hear it's injuries. But now there's obviously issues going on at board level that have involved Stephen Silvani, our list manager, and now it's been announced that he's quit the Carlton Football Club.
Yeah, and we're certainly hogging the airwaves and also the newspapers at the moment, not really for good reasons.
No, you know, especially when I think we touched on it last week. Our list is actually looking so good now, and there's so much positivity with the members and everything and the fans of Carlton, and you just don't want to see clubs that are kind of tearing each other from the inside out. I hope that's not the case, but there obviously has been a big change, and we'll touch on that a bit later. But I think we should really focus on, initially, how we did at the 2019 draft.
That's how we're going to do it, is it then?
I think that's how we do it.
Okay. So, overall verdict, what are your thoughts? And we'll, you know, touch in more detail.
I'm really happy. I think we obviously had that trade with Adelaide where it was always going to be up in the air how we finished. We ended up with pick 9, which after all the academy and all the concessions to the Gold Coast.
And the bidding on picks ended up being pick 11.
Yep, it ended up being pick 11. So take us from there, Chris, what we did with pick 11.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. So, you know, we went into the draft with pick 9 and we know the reasons for doing that with the trade swap, as you've mentioned. So,
yep.
In effect, we gave up pick 4 and we moved down to pick 9. Pick 4 became pick 6 for Adelaide.
Yeah, and that's because of, obviously, the Gold Coast concession pick. Yep.
Yep, and then our pick 9 ultimately became what was pick 11 after we...
So who did we take at pick 11? What did we do with pick 11?
Yeah, well, look, we had, when it was pick 9, we bid on Henry, WA boy, and I think we would have been very happy to get him. That's a legitimate...
Yep.
Bid, and then we went for Green from GWS, who yep. I think is another legitimate pick that we would have wanted, but also gave us a bit of extra time.
And I like that we bid on these academy players. We've got to keep these other clubs honest. They can't just, you know...
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
They slip through, don't they? And I'm glad that Silvani actually did that, because yeah. We obviously wanted them, but it also makes them accountable and they have to pay for it.
Yeah, so I think what happened is we had pick 9, as we've said, and we assessed the picks that were going to happen before us. There were 7 or so players that we wanted at that pick. They were off the board. There was nothing there that we wanted after those bids. And so you do business and so you get on the phone and you try to figure out. Yeah, you live trade, and that's the beauty of it.
So our pick 11, we've ultimately swapped for pick 17 and pick 22.
Yeah, that's correct. I guess there's probably a blanket over a few players from that point on, and we weren't quite sure what we're going to get, but they took a risk that Kemp was going to be available later on, and they would have been happy with him at pick 9, but why take him at pick 9, or what was pick 11 if you can get him at pick 17?
Exactly right, and Kemp, so obviously we took Brody Kemp at pick 17, who's from the Bendigo Pioneers.
Yeah, actually give us a bit of an introduction.
Yeah, 192 centimetres, 82 kilos. I don't know, he's a bit of a utility player. He obviously can play defence, he can play forward.
And utility does have stigma associated to it. Traditionally it has.
It can. I mean to a degree, Wiedering had that utility kind of tag, but obviously when we try to play him forward, it just kind of stuffed up his game. So, I don't like the utility role as much as it used to. It's not like the old-fashioned utility.
I was going to say, I think in the past it probably had a bit more stigma than what it does now. Yeah. And you know, the modern game, there's talk about, you know, flexibility and being able to play at both ends and a variety of roles, but still, it's utility.
Ultimately, Brody Kemp's listed as he's a tall defender. And do you know, I'm pretty excited about him. He obviously had an ACL injury this year, which has caused him to slide quite far down the draft. Like you said, we would have been probably pretty happy to take him at 9 or pick 11. And I'm sure a lot of other clubs would have taken him before that. So we were watching the draft, and I think we're both very happy that we took Brody Kemp.
Yeah, look, I think he's listed at 193 centimetres now, and like I said,
he's going to do a cripper.
Defender, forward, and yeah, he wants to play in the midfield.
And when he was interviewed during the draft, he actually said, in fairness, he believes his best football would be in the midfielder. So you kind of can't help but draw that comparison to Patrick Cripps and this big-bodied 18-year-old who
can still grow,
and he looks good. I'm really happy that it's really smart that we've... Look, I think a lot of Carlton supporters and members would have been eyeing off Brody Kemp. And I don't think a lot of would have been disappointed that if we picked him up at pick 11. So the fact that we got him at 17 plus had 22, you know, it's almost a bonus pick.
And that's got sauce written all over him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And taking a risk?
Yeah.
Taking a risk.
Yeah, and I think we can't say, is it going to... And a lot of the things we talk about today, we can't tell, you know, how it's going to pan out, but I like the fact that they've turned one pick into two, similar to what they did last year with Stocker and the Adelaide pick. So pick 22.
It is classic Sosso, isn't it?
Classic Sosso.
A bit of risk and a bit of a bargain, trying to get the most out of the assets you've got.
That's it. So we had pick 22, which was then traded with Port Adelaide, and we got pick 20. And I just want to add a little background. It's quite confusing, but Richmond had pick 21. So we then get pick 20. We still have Thompson Dow, who's obviously Paddy Dow's brother. He's still there. We still had, was it Robertson? He was still available.
Yeah, which was a big, big slider.
Which was a massive slider, being the captain of obviously the TAC under-18s team. But then who did we take at 20?
We took Sam Philp. And to many, that was a bit of a smoky. But as you said, we had the pick before Richmond. And obviously, I'm pretty sure the club got word that Richmond were keen on him, and if we wanted him, we were going to have to get a pick ahead of him. So hence that trade from 22 to 20, and what do we lose, a pick 55 or something like that, which we're probably never going to use anyway.
Exactly right.
Which helped Port Adelaide with some draft points.
Yeah, absolutely. So Philp's from the Northern Knights, 185 centimetres, 80 kilos, a real
lightning.
The quickest in the...
In the testing, yeah.
In 20 metres and under.
Yeah, it? 20 metre testing at the combine. So I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's under 3 seconds. And he's the fastest in the draft, lightning speed. And it's certainly something we've identified that we needed, some speed. And we might see that's a common theme with our drafting and this year as well.
Well, so. We said a couple of episodes ago, what we really need, and we discussed that when we actually picked up Jack Nunes, is that we need speed. We need this kind of outside run, and I think Philp's someone that can provide it. So why do you think he was such a draft slider, but to the other way?
Smoky. So, I don't think he was as big a smoky as what a lot of people sort of originally thought.
Did he play the TAC?
He did, and he had a massive back end. Look, it sounds like there are a few clubs that were going to take him in the 20s, mid to sort of late 20s, apart from Richmond, if he had have gone past Richmond as well. So he was sort of seen to be around that pick, so not much of a stretch picking him at 20, but if you want your man, you need to get in ahead of the team that's going to pick him next. So, and I don't mind that either, because we know Richmond have got a pretty good record going to the draft. So if it's a player that was in their sights and they wanted him, they've picked him up one pick ahead of what they would have anyway, I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, the way I agree with recently. Look, I think there was obviously a lot of talk about, I don't know if you maybe heard the same thing, but people I spoke to, obviously Devin Robertson was the big one that he really slid, and maybe people were disappointed that we didn't take him with that pick, but I think it really, Phil addresses that need of lack of speed that we've got at Carlton at the moment, and someone who can just use the football well. So I think it's a really good pickup, and I really hope it works out.
Yeah, look, and I agree with that. But it's interesting, you sort of get to that point, and we picked need over sort of someone who slid, and as you know, observers, you watch it and you go, oh, someone's sliding, you think they're going to go higher than they are, and you naturally want to sort of pick that play. But in hindsight, I'm pretty happy with the pick that way, that we've gone for that need. We needed a speedy player rather than we needed an accumulator with, you know, questionable kicking and potentially leg speed as well, regardless of character. So look, I see
we've got plenty of accumulators, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
We've got Ed Curno, we've got when fit, Kennedy, Setterfield, obviously Patrick Cripps, Setterfield.
Walsh racks it up.
But we don't need, Robertson, by all accounts, is a very good footballer, and his highlights are great, and he was a captain.
And he'd probably be a very good footballer, no doubt.
Yeah, but I think I'm pretty happy that we've addressed, obviously, something that we're lacking at Carlton. So, you know, you can't have too many people of the same caliber in the midfield, can you? Because you become a bit of a one-trick pony in a way.
Yeah, and look, you can afford to take a bit more of a risk on, like I said, not too much of a risk, but on a player when you've got an extra pick that you might not have had anyway.
Yeah, exactly right. So we then, the next pick we had...
Well, you know what I see him a bit like, if we're going to stay with him.
Oh, you're going to do a comparison?
Dave Cunningham.
Yeah,
he's got a bit of a bit of a smoky himself. You know, blistering speed.
Yeah, nice disposal.
So, yep. And, you know, similar-ish kind of looks as well. So, you know, probably similar height, similar weight. You know, Cunningham's put on a lot of muscle, obviously, but I sort of see him as that sort of explosive player, which Cunningham is if he stays on the field. So,
and we'll touch on a bit later that we, obviously, a bit later in the preseason draft, we've got someone else that's going to add a bit of speed to Carlton. But the next pick that we had in the draft was pick 47.
Tell me more.
Sam Ramsey from the Calder Cannons. Midfielder, 180 centimetres, but 72 kilos. So do you know what screams to me? It's a bit of a Fisher kind of prototype, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly
looks kind of light-bodied.
And once again, pace.
Yeah, pace. Well, exactly right. We're addressing the pace
theme
issue. Yeah.
It's that theme, isn't it? Getting some pace into the club.
Yep.
So, look, he might be longer, but, you know, these pickups are going to be longer-term prospects. That's why we took Kemp where we did. I mean, he's not going to play much football, if any.
He won't play any
next
football.
Year. I don't see any of them playing much football. But you're looking up, and we've got the list now. We've got enough younger players that we can sort of look to, you know, 2-3 years down the track for replacements coming in.
So we always have a clip or clap in relation to, you know, obviously the clip if we're not happy with a certain aspect or a player's game, or a clap.
It's our rating, isn't it?
It's our rating, exactly right. So in terms of the 2019 draft, strictly on those picks of Kemp, Philpin, Ramsey, what would you give it? Would you give it a clip or would you give it a clap?
And very hard to do now. It is. You know, it's all hindsight, like everything. But yeah, we're going to do it. I'm giving it a clap for sure.
I'm giving it a clap as well. I'm really happy that we've obviously got a couple of quick players. And I think Kemp is... I think the fact that he did his ACL... You know, clubs maybe were a bit wary, but we've seen in the past that it doesn't necessarily affect a player down the track, and I think he's going to be a really good player. Yeah.
And you can understand why the other clubs who are competing here and now might have been put off a little bit that way, because they want impact next year. They want the next Jaden Stevenson come in and...
Exactly. You're entirely right, because, and like you said, they won't play much football next year, if any, because we are lucky to be in a position where, you're right, we're not competing for the premiership
next
year.
And we can't throw too many juniors or too many younger players in there. No, we can't. Anyway, so...
And we've got players like Stocker, who only played a couple of games this year, who hopefully will be fit and right to be playing consistent games in 2020. There's a lot of players that will need to take the step up from last year's draft. So, obviously, bar Sammy Welsh, and obviously, you know, you've got Cunningham and these kind of players that...
I feel there's plenty of talent there.
Yeah, I do as well.
Get him on the park. So, and it fits with the club's mantra for the last... You know, a couple of years that we're going to build for sustained success. And to do that, you need to start looking, you know, 2-3 years ahead.
Yep.
And we've had the here and now. We started in 2015. We've picked up those players. The taller players are going to play the spine.
So, all right, we've both given it a clap for the 2019 draft. We just touched on before, there's obviously a bit of turmoil at Carlton. We just saw it on the news 2.5 hours ago. So, Stephen Silvani, our list manager since 2015... And a club legend has quit, or he's no longer working at Carlton, is the 2019 list.
Oh, it's a smokescreen and mirrors, isn't it?
We're getting a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, all reports, and not saying that they're entirely accurate, but it sounds like there's obviously disharmony at the club between Stephen Silvani and our CEO, Kane Little. Yeah. And obviously, we touched on it last week or last episode in relation to players being shown to Carlton without Silvani knowing, whether or not that's true or not, but there's obviously issues at Carlton, and it's pretty big news.
Yeah, and the simple part of it is, the fact is, Stephen Silvani is no longer at Carlton.
Yeah.
That's factual.
Yes.
And the rest is innuendo and depends on, you know, sort of what media outlet you listen to or, you know, inner grumblings, but he's no longer there, and there's potentially a few reasons for that. So what are your thoughts on it? I mean... We don't have any inside knowledge. We're not connected with the club. No. We just view it like everybody else does. But
I'm obviously disappointed to see any type of disharmony that at that kind of you know, club level, and you know, we've been so positive with all our players, and
it does sting, doesn't it? Because
it does.
A classic case of, I think it's more two steps
forward. We've had enough of it, haven't
yeah.
we? We've had it since you and I have been Carlton supporters since the, you know, late '80s, and that we've seen these kind of things. You kind of, you know, it's all fine when it's another club, but for Carlton to come back out, it really does hurt at this time of the year, especially when we're going into, we're trying to be positive. We've got
a lot of reasons to be positive.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge
right.
amount of reasons.
So what I thought we'd do is, I mean, I know it's been, a lot of people have been discussing, and to a degree, Stephen Silvani's been, since he joined as a list manager in 2015, there's been a lot of split opinion about whether or not he's done a good job. That's fair to say.
Yeah, I think so.
There's obviously that huge innuendo, and we were a joke of many clubs and stuff about us being picking up GWS players, and last year with the pick with Stocker and the swap with Adelaide, that was massive. Like, people, the media really had a field day with that one, and I'm going to get to it later, but that turned out to be ripping trade.
There have been a lot of questions asked of him, more so than most other list managers there. So
and that's exactly right. And you know, we've said it before. Is he more under the spotlight because it's Carlton, or is it because he's a famous Carlton player? Because a lot of these list managers, not necessarily ex-AFL players, and not to the degree that champion that Stephen Silvani is. So I thought maybe we'd, from 2015, we'll go chronologically up until present day. I know we've touched on 2019, and go through some of the drafts that we've had in that time, some of the trades that Stephen Silvani has been the list manager at Carlton, and I think we should evaluate and see how we think he's gone.
Yeah, and look, we'll try to separate fact from fiction. And I think
sometimes,
you know,
hard.
Yeah, well, it's going to be very hard in this situation as well. But I think the common perception from the broader community and even a lot of Carlton supporters is that he's nailed the early picks, but anything after sort of pick 30, he hasn't done so well with. But we'll investigate that a bit more closely. But we're not going to get too close or too involved in every single pick.
You could go for 5 hours. You could go 5 hours.
We don't have 5 hours. You don't have 5 hours.
No, you don't want to listen to us for 30 minutes. We don't want to do 5 hours.
That's true. So, look, we're not going to touch on the absolute specifics because we're talking multi-year trades and a whole lot of connotations. What we're going to look at is sort of more the strategic level and the higher end of things. So,
all right,
you want to start us off, Andy?
I'm going to kick off with 2015. Okay, so 2015.
A very big period for us.
Soss's first year as list manager, as we said. So
and the first time Carlton has done a proper rebuild. We committed to doing it. No more top-ups. The whole of club rebuild, reset, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I might throw in some names that might challenge the rebuild philosophy, but we'll do our best.
But the club at that stage had committed, and they said they would try and once we said before, sustainable success.
That's it.
That was a buzz phrase.
And had the pick number one this year. So from Carlton, Lachie Henderson was traded to Geelong.
What do we get for that?
We got a first round pick for 2016.
And there was a bit of heartache at the time, but so a future.
He wanted to go, but a future first round pick for 2016.
Okay, yep.
All right. So with that pick, that 2016 first round pick from Geelong that we got
future,
for Henderson.
Future pick.
That's it. Plus pick 28.
So current year pick 28, yep.
Yep. And 77 and 95.
It's rubbish picks, yep.
We receive Lachie Plowman, Liam Sumner, Jed Lamb, and Andrew Phillips.
GWS4.
Yeah, the GWS4. And we also receive pick 8. And that pick 8, we then pick up in the draft, Harry Mackay. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. So in essence, we gave Lachie Henderson.
Yep.
And Lachie Henderson picked 28 from the current year draft.
Yep.
And we picked up the GWS4.
Yep.
And Harry Mackay.
That's correct. That year, we also got rid of Chris Yaron to Richmond.
For what pick?
Pick 19.
And what do we use that pick 19 on?
That was ultimately the Cunningham pick.
Okay, so almost a straight swap if you look at it that way.
So you could almost say Yaron for Cunningham.
I don't think we were done there though, were we?
No. Tom Bell, which I was devastated when Tom Bell left. I know he wasn't the most polished footballer, but he had plenty of heart, and he is one of the kind of only players that was a real kind of tough man at the time, wasn't he?
He was a big body, strong man.
Mitch Robinson.
But he went up to Brisbane, and there were some family reasons for that.
Yeah, so we can't begrudge that.
So what was the trade for that?
So he went to Brisbane with pick 41, and we received pick 21 and 60.
It looks reasonable, doesn't it?
It's reasonable.
In hindsight.
So we also picked up in that year, we got Daniel Gorringe from the Gold Coast via the free agency, and Matthew Wright, from obviously from Adelaide, who Wright he went on to play some decent
and he was,
games.
He was a free agent, was he?
He was a free agent, yeah. So when I speak about 2015, the draft, we had Wiedering at pick number one, we had Mackay at pick number 10, Charlie Curnow at pick 12, Cunningham at 23, and Jack Silvani at 53.
After a
and we lose,
Henderson bid.
We essentially lose Henderson, Tom Bell. We also lost Troy Menzel to Adelaide for pick 28 and Sam Kerridge. So we gained.
So that was the other one, was it?
Yeah, that was the other
so
one.
So we lost Menzel.
We lost Yaron.
So let's go back on that. It was Menzel for Kerridge and.
And a pick 28.
Okay, yep.
So.
A lot of players out.
It's a weird kind of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a big one. I think we said before that was the start of a proper list rebuild.
So looking at that, when I see the players we got in, and look, we lost.
We traded assets.
We traded.
You have to.
We did. And look, I'm going to give it a clip. I'm going to give it a clap. Massive clap.
Yeah.
2015 was massive. We got rid of a player in Lachie Henderson that obviously didn't want to be there. Looking back.
And replace that with Mackay.
That's it. But, I mean, we have the power of hindsight for 2015, don't we? A lot of the things we're going to discuss about, we really won't know.
Well, this is a big year, and we can talk about this one in more depth because there are more runs on the board
for the
players we picked up, those that we traded away. We've got more intel, I guess, on those players.
So Henderson, a couple of weeks ago, has been delisted.
Picked up again as a rookie for Geelong. But
that's it. Obviously, Troy Menzel's no longer playing with Adelaide. Tom Bell's no longer playing with Brisbane. Chris Yaron didn't play a game.
Didn't play one, did he?
One game for Richmond, which obviously had personal reasons there. But so we ultimately got Cunningham for free. When you look at it that, when you simplify it and look at it that way, we picked up Gorringe and Wright. Gorringe didn't go on to do much.
No, but Matty Wright was very valuable for us. So that's a very savvy pickup.
Lachie Plowman obviously still playing for us, and at best 22, he's essential in the 22.
And very underrated. He has his knockers, but he's in the 22 every single week without a doubt.
Liam Sumner, Jed Lamb, and Phillips no longer with the club, but I think we didn't get much out of Sumner. Jed Lamb,
and I think you have to look at that trade in totality, because I think there was some salary dumps there as well.
Yep.
So that was important in terms of keeping some goodwill with the trading. I think we're prepared to take a couple of heftier contracts on.
Yeah.
To get a slightly better deal in terms of picks.
And in terms of just straight out with the draft, Wiedering's obviously at pick number one. So
we had a good hand to start with, and we just strengthened it, didn't we?
Can you really go that wrong with pick number one? I mean, Soss needs it. I reckon it's a massive clap for Soss for 2015 as list manager for Carlton. But my argument is, can you really go too wrong with pick one? It
you
has been done.
You shouldn't, but yeah.
But yeah, Wiedering's turned out to be an unbelievable player.
And he was definitely, if we look back, he was definitely the standout at the time. I'd be surprised if any other club didn't pick
one. So Soss didn't really go against the mould in that one, did he?
No, but I think the important thing with that is we started our first year of a rebuild with building the spine.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think previously when we did a semi-rebuild going before that, we didn't do that. We went midfielders and then we thought the talls would be there, but we all know talls take a lot longer to come on. So I think a change of philosophy, and they did that well, and maybe they was fortunate enough to have those players there, and it was a good draft for tall players. I mean, Charlie Curnow, that's a steal in hindsight.
Yep.
That was after a little bit of trouble with the police.
Yep, he had a bit of trouble there.
He refused a breath test, didn't he? And they probably sent his draft stock.
Slider.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, I mean, in terms of the five people we drafted, obviously Wiedering, Mackay and Curnow, they're absolute pillars in defence and forwards. Silvani, Jack Silvani's
for pick 53.
He was great this year. And David Cunningham has obviously had the injury woes, but I think he can play football.
And he's a bit more of a smoky than the others, but with a lot of upside. And unfortunately, he just hasn't been able to show his wares because he doesn't get much more than four games in a row, does he?
That's true.
Without getting injured. So
2015, is it a clip? Or is it a clap?
It's a clap for sure.
Massive clap.
And a great start to the rebuild.
Let's go on to 2016.
So 2016 is probably no less complicated than what 2015 was, and I'll let you take over from here.
Yeah, look, not as much movement in relation to trades. We obviously lost one of our I think great defenders in Zach Tui.
Yeah, absolutely. He was reliable, didn't miss too many, did he? And
no.
Rock solid and constantly getting better.
So Zach Tui and our 2017 second round pick were traded to Geelong, and we received Billy Smets and their 2017 first round draft pick.
So future swap of our second round to get their first round.
Yes.
And bearing in mind that we're an average football team there and they were still a reasonable football team.
Yeah, so that's correct.
Future second Carlton pick to future first Geelong.
So with that 2017 first round pick that we received for Tui.
You're not going to tell me you picked up Reece Palmer with that one, are you?
No, we did not. That went with a couple of other picks, essentially to the GWS for Caleb Marchbank, Jared Pickett, and a 2017 second round pick.
Nice and simple.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, so the essence of that one is basically Tui for Marchbank and some change either way. Is that
pretty? And Pickett, yeah.
And we had high hopes of Pickett at that stage.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, was he a former number three, former number four?
He was touted very highly in the draft.
So a bit different to the other GWS players.
Pickett was exactly what we needed at the time. And what we still need is a small forward. I think we'll touch on it a bit later. I think we've addressed that issue to a degree, but we really needed a small forward in Pickett. Never worked out. So essentially, you lost Tui for Smets and Marchbank. And Marchbank's been a tremendous player, I think. And I think he's a really big talent if he can stay fit.
On the park. That's another one. So I guess the Pickett one wasn't so much a salary dump because there were still high hopes for him. And we're pretty excited to have got him at that stage.
So we also traded pick 135. Don't think we're going to use that one. But we traded that to GWS for your man, Reece Palmer.
Didn't even know they had picks into the 130s.
So look, I don't even think that's a real kind of, Palmer didn't play much. We weren't going to use 135.
And I remember at the time that was potentially the salary dump. So that might have been a bit of a sweetener for the other deals. There was no real long-term future. I don't think the club was that excited to have him in. Giving up pick 135 probably suggests that too, doesn't it? Really?
It does. So for the 2016 draft, in a summary of that, we got Petrescu Seaton for pick number 5. We had Fisher at pick 27.
So pick number 5 was our natural pick, was it?
That was our natural pick. We got McCready at 47. Cam Polson at 59, again, trying to address that small forward issue. And we got Paddy Kerr at 65.
Yeah, so we had a lot of later picks in the chance of them turning into regular players pretty low.
That's it. So clip or clap for 2016?
I'm going to ask you this one because I'm not quite sure. What's your verdict?
Well, we've still got, out of the 5 players that we drafted straight from the players I just mentioned then in Petrescu Seaton, Fisher, McCready, Polson and Kerr. Obviously, Kerr has been delisted at the end of this year. I thought he's I kind of like Kerr, but I think he is one of those players that just not modern day.
Modern football.
He would have been great in the 80s and 90s, but I don't think he, when you look at how forwards are these days, and even with us with Kerno and Mackay, it's a different kind of athleticism build. And
so I guess the trick with this one really is getting rid of Zach Tui to bring in Marchbank. Is that the essence of it in terms of
I'm going to say 2016 is a clip. I think Petrescu Seaton is going to be a really good player, and I think he's really shown a lot of form. I think Fisher had a really bad season this year. McCready, again, one of those players that just hasn't been on the park enough to evaluate how he's going to go.
He was a real slider. He was highly touted. He was a GWS Academy player that just slid. So at the time, we thought that was a great pickup with value. But once again, I mean, there's a common theme here. We're picking up with injuries,
isn't it? Yeah.
And how much you get the opportunity to show your wares.
And I think it'd be fair to say that Cam Polson hasn't shown what we have expected.
We're not sure what we were expecting to start with. But
He went at pick 59. I think we've said earlier that if you are a small forward, your time is this season, the last season, and the season before to really grab that position.
There's an opportunity.
And he hasn't. So, and I'm going to say Luing Tui.
Do you see him on the list past this whole next season?
No, I don't. No, I certainly don't, no. So, I mean, we've got obviously Betts in and we've got a few other players that I'm sure are going to, maybe Martin that's going to fill that role. So
you've got a bit of a clip for this year?
I think it's a clip. I think Marchbank's a good pickup. I think Petrescu Seaton's a good pickup. I think Fisher's a good pickup, despite having a bad year, and I think McCready could still go either way. But I think we lost Zach Tui And I think he was a really important player. And yeah, I'm going to give it a clip.
Yeah, I'm probably with you. I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit with this one, but just a slight clip maybe. But once again, depends on how Marchbank comes back from multiple injuries, and he could still be another 10-year player for us, and that'll probably decide this one.
But in saying that, I mean, Soss didn't have the foresight to see how injury-prone that Marchbank was going to be. So I still think it's a reasonable pick-up to get Marchbank. We were pretty excited when he came across, weren't we?
Oh, and he's shown a lot of good football in the short amounts he's been able to string together and play for us. So I'm still high on him.
All right, let's go to 2017.
So again, I'm going to throw to you, Andy, because you are the stat man.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. It's very, very complicated.
It's very complicated. We've tried to simplify it.
We
had a chat beforehand how we could simplify it. There were no real obvious solutions, were there? But look, you're doing well.
2017, the big trade was Bryce Gibbs.
Yeah, and that was the second year of the trade talk. So year one didn't work. Year two,
and a former number one for us, who was a good footballer. So he obviously wanted to go to Adelaide, and in 2017 he got his wish. So we traded Bryce Gibbs with our pick 77, a 2018 second and third round pick, all the way across to the Crows. You know what we
received? If you look at that one, the future. So Gibbs, future second, future third.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah, forget the 70, picks. Yeah. So we received pick number 10, which would
for
go on...
current year.
Yeah, which would go on to get...
Lockie O'Brien?
Yeah, I believe so. Pick 16, which we on-traded, 73, and a 2018 second-round pick, which was also on-traded.
Yeah, okay. So those second rounds kind of cancel each other out in a way. And we gave a third round and Gibbs...
God, it's convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Gibbs wanted to leave Carlton... We essentially got number 10, which we used on Lockie O'Brien that year, 16, which was on-traded, 73, and a 2018 second-round pick, which we on-traded. How would you assess that? How would you assess that trade?
Yeah, it gets tricky. All right, so is that all we did? No free agents, nothing else there? Did we pick?
No, we got a few others. We got Matthew Lobe from Port Adelaide for a fifth-round draft pick 95.
Yeah, okay.
Neither here nor
there. Throw that one out. Yep, and that was as a backup.
We traded a first-round pick, being pick 16, and pick 40 to the Bulldogs for selections 28, 30, and a future second-round pick. And with that pick 28 we received from the Dogs, we got Matthew Kennedy from GWS.
Okay, and he was our target, obviously.
Yep. And we also received Darcy Lang for a future fourth, which was a pick 58 and a future fourth-round draft pick. So
okay, so with the picks we had, what did we do at the draft? You obviously mentioned O'Brien.
Yeah, so O'Brien went at number 10. We obviously had Paddy Dow at number 3. We had
that was our natural pick.
That's a natural pick just for a mediocre season. Yep. So Lockie O'Brien at number 10. We had Tom DeConning at number 30, Schumacher at 70, and Garlett at 78 from the Gold Coast Suns.
So I think the trick with that one is that second first-round pick we got from Adelaide, we went for Kennedy and DeConning. So you can look at it that way. So almost O'Brien, Kennedy, DeConning for Gibbs.
Yeah.
And, you know, change either way probably.
And, I mean, yeah, a lot of picks that were on trade or not used. So, again, like 2016, it is too soon to comment on that actual draft in relation to Dow. And Schumacher's obviously gone. And Garlett's gone. DeConning hasn't played...
But looking good and looking like good.
And Lockie pick. O'Brien, I think everyone who listens to this podcast knows our feelings on Lockie O'Brien and Paddy Dow in relation to the 2019 season. It just wasn't up to scratch for our...
So this is an important draft, this one. This is the make or break one in a way. When we've seen glimpses of both of them, but not exactly what we'd wanted to see to date.
No, and with, no. Yeah,
and like I said, we can't judge it right now, but I think this is probably a pivotal draft if we're going to assess Soss and his performance.
I think
overall.
So as well. Do you know what? That's a really good point. I think 2017
seems to be a pretty important one.
I'm really happy with 15 with the Wiedering, McKay, Kerner, and 16 again. SPS and Fisher. 17, you're right. That's really up. That ball's up in the air. Matthew Kennedy's been pretty good.
Well, he's found himself a new home in the forward line in a way. So yep. And once again, another player injured. Gets back on the park. He's missed pre-seasons. Gets on the park, but he's shown a bit up forward.
Yep.
You know, concerns over. Whether he's got the pace for the midfield, but certainly can kick straight.
Darcy Lang and Matthew Lobe have not been good at Carlton.
No. And look, Lobe trade made sense.
Yep.
And that was probably a salary jump. That's why we gave up pick whatever it was.
But
know,
Darcy Lang
95.
Hasn't, Darcy Lang hasn't been great.
But he was young and he came and look, it just goes, we haven't picked up, haven't traded well with Geelong when we've got players.
No, but they trade well with us.
Yeah, so I mean, was it Smeds the year before we said, or the year before that either way, and then Darcy Lang and yeah, don't trade players with Geelong.
So disregarding that NAB draft, it's essentially we lost Gibbs, we got Kennedy, Lang and Lobe. So would you give it a clip or a clap in the face that we've said that this is obviously a hard one to evaluate?
I'm going optimistic with this one because we're pretty happy with what the price we got for Bryce Gibbs, who is clearly wanting out, and over 2 years of trade stalling, we finally got rid of him, or he finally moved, and I'm holding out hope for certainly Dow and O'Brien. So I'm going to go clap with this one, just though.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it a clap. I'm not going to give it a clip either. But I mean, five of the NAB draft players have been, two have been delisted. Lang and Lobe haven't done much. Kennedy's been good, but we lost Bryce Gibbs. But like you said, we're going to lose him anyway.
And an older Bryce Gibbs too. So who got the currency we got.
Who is not playing the best footy of his
career.
That's
exactly right. He can't get a game at Adelaide. So
yeah, I'm on the fence with that one. Let's go to 2018. Let's
move it on.
Yep.
So Andy, does 2018 get any easier in terms of picks in, picks out, trades?
No, I got a headache, to be honest. Yeah, look, let's simplify. Let's simplify this as much as we can.
And there's an added complexity with this one too, isn't there?
Yeah, and that I'm more interested to talk about, that complexity in relation to the draft, I think you're alluding to. So in 2018, we got Alex Fasolo, who was a...
restricted free agent, so yeah. Yep. No trade done, but didn't work out.
Nick Newman from Sydney in return for a 2019 fourth round draft pick.
Yep.
Clap, clap, clap.
Yep.
Will Setterfield. So we got Will Setterfield.
What was the price for that?
So we got him from GWS Giants together with pick 70 and in return for our 2019 second round pick and pick 43.
That looks pretty good value, doesn't it?
I think that was
very high, very high pick.
I was happy with that at the time. I'm happy with that right now. So
coming off injuries, but put in a fabulous first year considering.
And we obviously got Mitch McGovern as well.
The price for that?
So he came from Adelaide together with a 2019 third round selection for pick number 26 and 28, a 2019 fifth round selection, and the second of our state league priority access picks, Shane McAdam.
So that was an easy one. Simple trade, that one.
What did I just say?
I'm not sure of it. Let's just say we'll call that fair value. Make it easy on ourselves.
So that's not a bad. That's a really good year, actually, I think, for Carlton. We'll go to the we got, just in relation to the trades, we got Fasolo. Didn't work out, did it?
No, it didn't work. But
what are we trying to do there?
Small forward.
Exactly
we're
right.
We're trying to patch up that area and get a small forward. So there
didn't work out.
Yeah, the logic was right.
But imagine if it did. Yeah. And we got a guy who can play footy, mind you. Alex Fasolo can play football as a restricted free agent. If he turned around and kicked 30-odd goals, that would have been a great pickup.
Yeah, and when we picked him up, it was a one-year contract, wasn't it? So it was very low risk, and to be honest, he didn't produce anything. No loss there.
Nick Newman, Setterfield, and McGovern.
Yeah, well, once again, hindsight, we'll judge that, but they have produced, and at this stage, I'm very comfortable with that.
The 2018 NAB draft.
Yep.
We had pick one, again, just due to... it was a natural pick, we'll say. So we take Sam Walsh at pick one, which we don't need to talk about it.
Cannot dispute that one. Let's move on. That's a great pick.
Let's go on about 2018.
Well, we had Sam Walsh, and it was the first year of live trading, wasn't it?
It was. So Soss put his neck on the line.
He's got some plums on him.
Certainly has some plums.
He was the first Carlton with the first club. He was the first to instigate live trading. And we got to pick 19, decided yep. There was a real slider that we wanted.
Yep.
So picked up the phone, called Adelaide.
That's it. So it's a swap. It's a straight swap in 2019 for the first rounder, plus pick 19 from Adelaide for the 2018 draft.
And it was a big move and still talked about, had its own.
And it was ridiculed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was absolutely ridiculed.
We were definitely seen as losers in that one, and again, you know, Liam Stocker has looked good from what we've seen. He was injured, unfortunately, couldn't show a bit more, but we picked, got a player that we thought was in the top 10 easily, slid down, swapped the first. We backed ourselves, and maybe we overinflated where we were going to finish potentially, but we realised that Adelaide were going to slip, which ultimately ended up happening.
And I think that was the point. Everyone thought that Carlton was going to remain the same, and they were correct, let's be honest. But Adelaide slid.
And they'd come off a grand final performance.
Yes.
Wasn't it? So
at the end of the day, I think it's a great pick. So ultimately, Adelaide got pick 4 from us.
Which they used this year and ended up being pick six
due to the concessions. And we get their pick 9, which we ultimately use as pick 11 to then on trade to 17 and 22.
So what does that all mean?
Ultimately, we gave up
our first round pick for this year's draft.
And we picked up Brody Kemp, Philp, and we got Liam Stocker.
And we got Liam Stocker a year in the system.
So we got three players for one if you really want to simplify.
First round players.
Exactly right.
You know, two of those are later first round players, so you've got to acknowledge that. But that's a 3-for-1 deal in the first round.
Clip or clap?
I'm giving it a massive clap.
I'm giving it an applause. I'm giving it a standing ovation. A
golf clap?
No.
Standing ovation. Oh, you're right up there.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand now, but I mean, got a bad back and everything. But I think this is exactly why Soss has been an awesome list manager with that kind of trade in 2018 and the trade that he's done in 2019. The live trades.
It's incredible. It is.
Not only is it exciting, but how good is it?
Certainly brought a fair bit of attention to the Carlton Football Club, a bit of airtime for himself and the rest of the crew in the room. So, yeah, that's the interesting part. He innovative and gutsy. So we've discussed a lot of picks and trades and everything else in between, but ultimately, how does that leave Soss's legacy? 5 years at the club.
Yep.
Where do you stand now looking at that and having discussed those 5 years?
Yeah, well, look, I'm a big fan of Soss. I think he's traded really well. 2015 was great. Like we said, 2016, 2017, it's too soon to comment on. But I love what he's done in the drafts in relation to the Stocker pick, how he split our pick 11 into Kemp and to Philp. He takes a risk. He's tried to address our small forward issue. It just hasn't worked out. And look, could you argue, you know, I'm being a bit of devil's advocate here, but have we really addressed the small forward issue, apart from getting bets this year?
Yeah, look, I think for 1 year we have, and bringing in Jack Martin, which I don't think we've actually...
Well, we've discussed him in previously, but I mean, Soss has got Jack Martin.
For free. So that we've got to consider that.
So Gold Coast went absolutely hardball with Silvani. Silvani
declined. He knew his leverage.
And everyone went hard at Silvani for not taking Martin. Look, and we get him for free.
I'd rather get him for free than trade.
Do you know what?
Pick 25.
I'm a big Soss fan in relation to what he's done as list manager at Carlton. I am, yep.
Yeah, when you look at that, it's very interesting, isn't it, to reflect and look back on it. But there's a few things you'll probably say about him. He loved a bargain, loved getting the most amount for the assets that we had.
Yep.
Courageous, innovative, he didn't care what other people thought.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And, you know, he didn't die wondering. He took risks, and whether they pay off or not, we'll see, but at this stage, I think they will, and I think
crazy to say that every pick, you know,
and it's never going to be that way. Of course,
did he go too GWS heavy as per his detractors said?
Yeah, well, I think you've got to look at the years there, and I think Carlton certainly picked up a lot of GWS players, but a few of those that get linked to him were before his time at
Jackson
Carlton.
Wiley.
That Jackson before, Wiley. Before. So you know, that just contributes to the whole was picking up a. GWS rejects, so I don't think that's a bit unfair that way. And we picked up a few that were definitely salary dumps. They weren't long-term career players at the Carlton Football Club. They were sort of fill the need. Yeah, I mean, and then also, we probably missed out on a couple along the way, like your Cam O'Shea's, your Aaron Mullets.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we can't go on to everyone. Look, you can't win them all, but look, I'd like to quote one of our, a very good friend of the podcast. Pepe Sancho, he said, when I asked how he was going to rate
Pepe Sancho's opinion,
how he would sum up Silvani, and he said, he's done well, however, the verdict is still out. If that's not sitting on the fence, I don't know what it is, but he's entirely right, because we cannot assess it at the moment, but from as we sit in early December 2019, I'm happy with what Stephen Silvani's done as a list manager for Carlton.
Yeah, and as I said, time will tell with that one, but he'll always be linked to Jack Martin, Liam Stocker, and a few of those other trades. So,
yep.
You know, kudos to him, man. You know what? You've got to be innovative if you're going to get ahead of the game.
And that's exactly right.
If you sit back and do what everybody else does, you're never going to win a premiership. So,
and we're not in the position to sit back and just and take the picks as they come. We needed someone to be innovative and make that risk because we're not going to go anywhere without it.
And it, you know, it's a long legacy at the Carlton Football Club, the Silvani name. It's sad that one's leaving. There are still two on the list, which is incredible to think. So three generations, 5 years old, or two or three, and there could be another Silvani on the way as well. So the Silvani name lives on, but look, I understand why people have got very emotional, and you know, we'll see, and you know, who comes in, who replaces him,
because yeah,
that's the
sure.
other thing too. You know, we'll look back in hindsight and go, well, you can compare what he's done, but who comes in and how do they do that? So signing off to a Carlton legend, thanks for everything you've done. Heart's been in the right place, and I am fairly confident. Definitely the Blues are in a better place.
All right, Chris, I think that might be it for tonight.
It's a big show.
It is.
My brain's hurting.
Yeah, geez.
I can only imagine yours.
Too many numbers. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And in relation to the Colt 22 last week, we got some good responses from
great feedback
from Facebook and from Twitter. So keep listening.
We haven't forgotten about that one.
Now we're going to do the Colt 22 midfield and interchange bench next. So please continue to write in and really appreciate everyone listening.
And ultimately leading into our Colt 22
of all time.
Of all time. So
it's the biggest news ever.
Yeah, it's exciting. We'll get back. It'll be a different podcast the next one. A bit more upbeat, a bit more humorous.
All right.
But for the time being.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Andy. We are.
We are the Blue Bag.
Yeah, we are.